A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Start again.
It was an abysmal start. Let's start again.
The curtain has been torn, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Nuno returns to Molyneux and Steve Bruce has been taking your calls. It's Friday, 20th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushita Hantharaja.
I do get that Friday feeling when a Lukey and a Vichy come my way.
I can't wait for Steve Bruce to turn up. taking our calls. You didn't mean me and Vish, no?
He has been. He's not going to.
So me and Vish can't call Steve Bruce now and he won't take our call?
Unless you've got his number, Vish?
No, he does seem like one of those kind of old-timey people who used to work the switchboards. Do you think he's kind of dialing in the calls himself?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I also think that he's got a reputation as being a lovely, lovely fella. So I'm sure if you called him, he might even answer it, even if he didn't recognise the number.
Yeah, yeah.
And just in case he could be of any help.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and he'll let you know if he's like in a towel.
Yeah.
I just got out the shower.
Stay there, Stevie. Well, more on Steve Bruce later. There's been some Europa Conference League action, gentlemen. Spurs became the first English club to lose in the Europa Conference League. It's a harsh stat, isn't it?
Yeah. And you've chosen to read it that way.
They lost 1-0 against Paços de Ferreira in their qualifier last night. Nuno was annoyed that Spurs have lost a bit of their feel-good factor that they'd gained after beating Manchester City.
Can I just say, the feel-good factor, I believe, was instantly lost as soon as they came in from the pitch into their dressing room after beating Man City and looked at the calendar and realised they had to do this game. Win, lose or draw, the feel-good factor's gone straight away. That is the equivalent of having 2 weeks off for Christmas, and knowing you've got to go back to work.
There was an element of the Europa Conference League was always going to be a nuisance, and it was always going to be in this, I suppose, qualifying stage that it was a nuisance. And to be fair, full respect to Spurs and the players that turned out there, because they made it seem like a nuisance on the pitch. Yeah,
absolutely.
It took me to witness with my own eyes the referee blow the starting whistle to go, oh, they are doing this, are they? They are actually doing it. Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit of a second string side, it's fair to say. New signings Christian Romero and Brian Hill did feature. But it was one of those ones where it looked a bit like, you know, those sort of next-gen fixtures or when you're youngsters and you think, I don't really know.
Marcus, it is quite simply, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it is quite simply a tournament featuring clubs that don't exist and players that also don't exist. So, you know, we can talk about, you know, Pierluigi Gallini wearing a baseball cap. Great to see. Fine with that. Obviously a player of some reputation. Brian Hill, interesting new signing. Same with Christian Romero. Mm. Niall John does not exist.
No.
And I think we should be honest here about that to all our listeners who both know lots about football and some who don't know quite as much. We should be absolutely clear that a lot of these players simply do not exist, Ish.
Do they just not have the rights to to actual football? Is this what this tournament's about?
I think so.
It doesn't sound real. I don't know. We've been quite dismissive of it last season, and it is going to be quite a big impact for other clubs. But it's funny for a team like Spurs, who, if you chart, I suppose, where they are at this point from when they lost the Champions League final a few seasons ago, it does seem like they're hitting every branch on the way down to a point.
He should have made Harry Kane play.
But what is
they right? should have yeah. made him play? They should you have... miss out on training. This is what you get.
But I think we
you've
said
got
this...
some yards to catch up on, mate.
We said this on Wednesday. Like, if they were winning, you should have been to think. You know what? Get your 10 minutes. Go.
No, it's the one concession. It's the one concession in his entire career as an agent. Charlie Kane's been able to get for Harry. He's not going there.
He's not doing that.
And he probably, Charlie Kane needs a win, and he probably saw that. It's like, don't worry, mate. You won't have to play in European competitions.
Yeah.
You've got a bonus.
Good news and bad news.
Do I get paid for that?
You're not going to Man City, but you're not going to Packers either. They've got it all to do in the second leg, though.
I mean, do they definitely have to play the second leg?
I think they do.
Okay, right. Yeah, they have then. They absolutely have.
Well, they want to respect Pacos, don't they?
They don't have it all to do. They've got some of it to do. Because with all due respect to Pacos, they weren't particularly good. I had the pleasure of finding a legal stream to watch this game. And there was clearly a point where Pacos realised that this wasn't the Spurs as they knew it. Mm. And so kind of built a bit into the game, but I think Spurs only had one shot on target as well, and they were very, very disjointed. It was quite, the most disappointing part of it for Spurs. I know Nuno talked about the feel-good factor and stuff like that, was the fact that the central midfield pairing of Lo Celso and Winks, those are by now senior players.
Yeah.
I thought actually that would be the key difference, but it ended up, obviously it's still quite early in those two players' respective seasons, but I think they should be able to overcome this.
Yeah, you would think. Will St. Johnstone be able to finish the job in Perth? They got a good, not a bad result away to LASK. I mean,
yeah,
a decent side, LASK, in terms of this sort of standard and all that.
I feel like because St. Johnstone had a season last year where they won both cups, that's right, isn't it? So they got into into the European conversation as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And because this has been going on for so long, I really want to see them in some kind of a proper European competition.
Yeah.
I think they can consider themselves pretty hard done by that they drew LASK. Because LASK
and Galatasaray.
They've had a tough old draw because there are teams, as I've already said, in this Conference League that simply do not exist. And if you play against them, you will win because they're not real teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the trouble.
And I don't care if people say that sounds snobby. I support Portsmouth. Mm. I know all about snobbiness in football.
You'd turn this competition down, wouldn't you?
I think, I mean, having 12.99, all I'm saying is that Premier Sports have massively overestimated how much I'm willing to pay $12.99 a month by serving me up Conference League as a draw-in.
What would you rather, to watch all the Europa Conference League matches for free, in the coming season, or be given all those third Puma kits for free for all the teams like Fenerbahce and Milan and Man City?
I like seeing the other teams wearing those kits. I think it's funny they've got to wear them. I think also I'm a typical football fan as far as if there was no other football on, I'd be lapping this up.
Yeah,
when football got postponed because of COVID, I'd been all over this.
Yeah,
and now I've got such a plethora of options, I'm dismissing it.
You pleased that Jose Mourinho got a win for Roma?
I wish there were more fireworks, to be honest, because his pre-season promised a lot.
I mean, already though, Vish, Pedro's has left Roma and he's joined Lazio, the first transfer between those rivals in 40 years. It's not taken Jose long, has it? To kind of,
like, you're putting that on him.
Well, no, I said, just get me anywhere. I don't care. Yeah, I'll join them.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah.
I'll take all the stick.
Yeah,
it's like being under a medieval siege in a castle with 50,000 enemy troops around you, and with Jose Mourinho, go. I'll take my chances. I'll go at night. They hopefully won't see me.
Do you think? Do you equate it to in Die Hard with Vengeance when he has to wear that sign in Harlem?
Oh yeah.
Do you think Pedro's like, I'll do it. Fine. Yeah. I'll wear and walk through. Yeah, no problem at all. If it gets me further away from here, I will do it.
Indeed.
Jose's going to do that.
Well, I'll be joining up with Maurizio Sarri. A different type of gentleman to Jose.
Presumably he's checked that before he moved.
It was quite easy to find his way. He just followed the smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
Is that the Vatican? It's not. No.
It's like Hansel and Gretel, but with fag butts.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So, yes, brilliant. Well done, Jose.
Has he been chewing them? Yeah, he has.
There we are. But yeah, the Premier League this weekend, Wolves against Spurs, Nuno back at his old stomping ground. The word is that Charlie Kane is taking a back seat in negotiations with Daniel Levy now. Is that good news all round, Vish?
I didn't know that children were allowed to sit in the front seat. I thought there was an age limit.
You have a booster seat, don't you?
Yeah, but that's for the driver.
Well, it seems to be that's been corrected now, because maybe he's just in the boot now.
I mean, is this
should
not...
Should he even be in the car? I say no.
This is a great example of, I suppose, the rights and... I wouldn't call it rights and wrongs, but I suppose, like, Harry Kane having his brother playing such a big part in his career is a bit of a throwback, really. And it probably speaks of Harry Kane's naive, but not necessarily something to be criticised, his view of the landscape of elite level football, whereby he thought, because my intentions are good, because I want to be a Spurs player, I want to win stuff with Spurs, having my brother, who maybe has no such expertise in this field, which, as we know from some of the major players in football agency, it's quite a treacherous world to be in, where you shouldn't really trust anyone.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have an agreement, get it in writing, like Jack Grealish did with Aston Villa, and not a gentleman's agreement with all due respect, someone who is a clown in Charlie Kane.
Not even the best Kane.
Yeah.
No.
But the... And so, like, on one side of it, I've realised we're diverging a bit here, but on one side of it, I do feel a bit sorry for Harry Kane that he's in this situation, but he should have just been smarter about it. And so that finally that Charlie Kane is in the backseat, fine, but I feel like a lot of the damage has already been done that would have been avoided if you had a professional position.
We often moan at the Mina Raiolas and the Mendezes and all these kind of agents. We go, oh, bloody, they hold clubs to ransom. They do this, that and the other, et cetera, et cetera. And then we think, oh, Paul Scholes never had an agent. Wasn't that sort of almost lovely, if you see what I mean, when you think about it? Now, obviously, he didn't move and he had no intentions of moving anywhere. So we say all this, but then, as you say, let's give the Canes the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, well, they were a bit naive and they tried to be a little bit more, I don't know, old-fashioned, for want of a better term, about this. And then it happens and it seems to have sort of blown up in their faces and going, well, you're a bunch of idiots. You should have got some shark like some of the other agents out there.
Well, the fact that you can mention Scholes as an example is because he's an exception. Because and the game has moved on an awful lot since then anyway, but even then it was rare, right? It was a point of conversation of note because it was so rare and so almost so quaint. I agree, Marcus, it is quite nice in retrospect. I think it's probably quite nice at the time. He never wanted to leave. He's a certain type of character.
And had an enormous amount of respect at the club as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think the very idea that in modern football, that the best person able to represent Harry Kane's interests is his brother is a joke. And it should be seen as such. I mean, you know, this is a situation where you're talking about millions and millions of pounds, a short career, one of the most famous athletes in the world, and his brother is representing him. I think it's an embarrassment. I think it shames the decision-making of Harry Kane, and it shames decision making of the brother that they think they can do this. It's arrogant, actually, to think that you are the best person to represent your brother's career. Because the reason I'm saying that is because if Harry Kane was to be represented by a proper management company at the very top, commensurate with his skills, it doesn't mean his brother can't still advise him. It doesn't mean his brother can't still be on the phone. He's his brother. He can speak to him any time. I feel a little bit sorry for Charlie Kane because he's obviously in his brother's shadow, and that's, I imagine, quite a difficult place to be. He's got an office. He dresses up in his suit. His only client is his brother. I mean, I don't know why he's dressing up in a suit. There's no who's he trying to
look
impress?
Look at Mina Raiola. He just wears T-shirt and jeans.
But the reason Raiola and Mendes and these people you've listed get this reputation is for a completely different reason. The accusations leveled at people like them are, well, they're not actually representing their clients best, they're representing themselves best, and they do whatever's best for them. Now, that's a completely fair criticism, I think, but ultimately a lot of the stick they'll get is because they're trying to do something for their player, and it's not commensurate with what the club want. Mm. So there's a bit of a conflict of interest, it's a bit of a disagreement.
We downplay the tension between club and player because, again, we think of it as almost like us playing Saturday morning or Sunday morning football, you know, kind of thing. Well, the team is bigger than the player, blah, blah, blah. Totally different from professional football. There is that tension. There's that give and take.
The other thing that's not been mentioned enough, I don't think, is that not only has Charlie Kane clearly not got the skills to do this job, he's actually got absolutely no leverage either. Because if you are George Mendes and you go in representing one of your players, the people who you're negotiating with know how many other players you represent.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, hang on a minute. If we don't give a bit here and we want that player in 2 years' time, we're not going to get them. Mm. So there's no leverage involved with Charlie Kane because he's got no other client.
Is there another Kane? Do we know?
Maybe. They need to find one. They need to find one.
I mean, if he's in the shadows, he should probably stay there given what we've seen of the other Kane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree, though. It is disgusting that he wears a suit, though.
No, but I'm, if you go to work on your own, why are you wearing a suit?
He likes it.
Yeah, fine. Fair enough.
Do you think any of his... So we've all seen the pictures of his desk where he's... Yeah. You know, he's clearly watched one episode of Mad Men and thought, well, I'm getting a full load of this.
Yeah.
Do you think he's like comms phone? Do you think that's linked to anyone?
Maybe.
Do you think if he presses a few numbers, you like a cow will moo at him and stuff like that? It does seem like he was... I've got a younger... more attractive, more successful brother. I know that
Harry Kane hasn't.
I'm saying I'm the Charlie Kane version of this.
Oh.
Of the Hunter Raja family. So, you know, I remember.
Get on that,
you know, everyone who's had a brother's had to do that. You've had to invite your friends to your younger brother's party because he wouldn't necessarily fill out a room for photos. We've all been there.
Mm. I haven't got a brother, so I can't help you with that.
But the point you make about I suppose like the Mini Raiolas and how they have this, they have a stable of people. The other thing that does though, it gets them better at negotiating. I think one of the things you see at the levels below the, the top tier agents is that they build up their base. They get used to working with different clubs. Therefore they have different conversations and they know the lay of the land. I think the issue that Charlie Kane's had and with the Kane team, quote unquote, is the fact that every time they seem to say something or release something, it makes things worse. Mm. There is great value in shutting the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, maybe I should take some of that advice.
Don't not on the show.
No, not on the
broadcast. Yeah, you have to do it. Yeah.
But there's also a sense that like you kind of understand how things work, and evidently it's the first time they've ever really pushed for a transfer, and they don't know how it works. They shouldn't have gone public in the first place. Right.
And the bedrock to all this, Vish, by the way, is the fact that Kane signed such a long contract.
Yeah,
which is a stupid thing to do.
Yes,
and presumably a decision that was made by the Kane camp that Levy and Spurs are rubbing their hands together with.
Yeah.
Because they go, well, actually, we want to keep him. We know how much it costs to pay a player of that quality anyway. And if we get him on a longer contract, it's going to be much harder for him to extricate himself from the club. All Charlie Kane presumably has said is, by the way, Harry, great news. We've got you signed up for however many years. And Harry Kane has signed it. Mm. It was a crazy thing to do at the time, particularly when you say, I mean, you mentioned Grealish earlier. Grealish got a sensible clause put in his contract. He said, I don't want to leave Villa, but if a Champions League club comes in for me, I want to have the permission to go. And Villa said, okay, well, as a compromise then, we'll put a 100 million clause in. Yeah. We don't think anyone will pay it. If they do, fair enough.
Everybody knows where they stand in that.
Harry Kane's got no clause, apparently.
Yeah, well, exactly. But everyone knows where they stand because Grealish clearly...
He's got an idiot brother clause.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. But I mean, Nuno back at his old club, Luke, do you think he's going to tear them apart? He knows what's going on there and he thinks, ha-ha, I'll have you. Or will Bruno Lage be not having any of it?
Well, I think that we should remember that when Spurs played against City, who they've got a good record against at home, particularly given how good City have been in recent years, they looked strong, they looked together, they looked well coached, they knew what they were doing, and if they can maintain, last night they've played away from home in the European game where they've been very disjointed, and I think everyone
understands
that.
I don't think you can go much on
that. No, I agree. So I think if they turn out with the same energy and the same desire and the same commitment they've shown against City, I think they'll win the game.
Mm.
I don't think the good thing about Nuno is he's kind of a very traditional European coach, by which I mean I don't think based on what I've seen him say and based on how I've seen him respond to questions, I don't think he generally cares that much about the Kane thing. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be like, right, well, Kane would be great to have him, and obviously if we have him, he's one of the world's best players. But a coach of Nuno's experience is used to just coaching the squad he's got, right? Mm-hmm. He's used to working under director of football. He's used to players moving on, other players coming in. Of course, this is a big one, but you know, one of the biggest. And my evidence for me thinking that Nuno is like that is how they performed against City. Mm. It could have been a massive distraction. Mm. It wasn't.
Yeah. Elsewhere, on that Sunday afternoon, Arsenal are playing Chelsea, Vish, in front of a full stadium at the Emirates, of course. Romelu Lukaku could make his first appearance, which I think we'll all be excited to see. He said he's intrigued to play under Thomas Tuchel and said in his first press conference that I'm here for life.
Huh.
I mean, that's Charlie Kane levels. Yeah.
Charlie Kane, do your contract? I've got your 50-year contract.
Yeah, the club will very much decide that. But he does seem, Lukaku, there does seem this sort of destiny about all this, doesn't there?
Yeah.
I've never, very few transfers that I can think, in fact, I don't think I can think of any where a player has gone back to his club. Maybe slight shades of Cesc Fabregas, but that seemed to be slightly different when he went back to Barcelona. But this, like, Lukaku's really embraced that and he's really talked up it. As if that he was desperate to get back at Chelsea at some point, which is interesting considering he played for Manchester United, Everton, Manchester United, and Inter in between times.
When he signed for Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, Anderlecht, when it was basically being ratified and it was as official as it was before him.
Anderlecht calling him a traitor, were they?
Well, no. So Anderlecht released a video on, I think they did it on Twitter as well, but I saw it on Instagram, where there was they had a tour of Stamford Bridge when Lukaku was a kid. I think Anderlecht took an age group team on an English tour, and they had a tour of Stamford Bridge. Mm. And there was like footage of all the players just like, you know, really in awe of it. And there's one part of the video where one of the coaches or maybe one of the tour guys has to come back and tell Lukaku that they're moving on. Mm-hmm. And he's just like staring out at Stamford Bridge at the pitch.
Yeah.
And he basically says, one day I'm gonna play here.
Mm. Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah, he was like, what are you doing? He was like, are you dreaming? He's like, no, it's not a dream. One day I'm gonna play here.
Mm. Right.
So obviously he gets the move first time, doesn't quite work out.
His story is very interesting.
Yeah, and now
growing
he's back
up and trying to provide for his mother and all that kind
100%,
of stuff.
100%, yeah.
Incredible.
I'd also say it's another example, and it's very similar to the phenomena of Thierry Henry at Arsenal and the way that... So Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is this Greek basketball player who just won the NBA with the Milwaukee Bucks, he got a thank you message from Thierry Henry. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no nationality similarity there. Mm-hmm. They're obviously playing different sports.
Sure.
Giannis is into football. But he, like, is weeping as he gets this message from Thierry Henry. Now, Didier Drogba for Chelsea has had exactly the same impact to, I suppose, generally, black footballers, and Lukaku being one of them, obviously with the position sense as well. And I think there was a little bit of crossover in their time, perhaps, or certainly Drogba was an influence on getting Lukaku to sign that first time. And I think, look, that's part of it as well. Lukaku clearly wants to be that Drogba figure who did brilliant things at Chelsea, didn't work out the first time. And a lot of players carry that kind of regret, you know, right to the end of their career. Now he's got a chance here to rectify that, doesn't he? And he's got a, you know, he's returning as the player he wanted to become at Chelsea.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he's returning as the totem for their forward line. And so that's got to be pretty cool. And probably, you know, sheds that sense of pressure to a point, because it's like, fuck, I've never thought this would happen again.
On Wednesday this week, while Chelsea, they had an open training session, they're parading the Champions League trophy, a fan was sort of given the microphone, you know, have you got a message for the player? Oh, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I think the person giving the tour was like doing a Q&A.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And someone just on the microphone boomed around the PA system and was like, get Timo Werner out the club. I was like, you knobhead.
I think that's piss poor. Yeah.
That's really piss poor.
Who could have seen that coming from a Chelsea fan?
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, come on.
Go, I'm saying it, you're thinking it.
No, I wasn't thinking that particularly.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking that shows the entitlement of the youth of today.
You don't know how old he was. I don't know anything about him.
Well, I think it spoke of two things. I think it spoke of,
it's
like,
piss poor.
It really
poor.
Is. It
somebody, I know there are plenty of reasonable Chelsea fans.
Timo Werner's a Champions League winner, and I know maybe he's proficiency in front of goal maybe lacking a bit, but come on.
It's someone who wanted to go viral, basically. They would have been filming it themselves. And it was quite interesting that there was some gasps as well, and then one woman really took exception to him and was like, no, that's out of order. Mm. And apparently I think she even filmed it when he was leaving the ground. The guy who made the comment. Yeah. So it was
I think it says much more received about him than it does about Timo Werner.
Yeah.
And he's embarrassed himself there rather than embarrassing the player.
He is.
Can I just weigh in quick on the Lukaku thing, because I just wanted to make a point I think I haven't seen mentioned anywhere else, which is that he looks really lean. Have you seen how lean he looks?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously he had no real problem scoring goals before anyway. I've got a feeling he's going to take the Premier League by storm this season.
Yeah.
And I've also got a feeling that this could be a very, very difficult afternoon for Mikel Arteta. If Chelsea play the way they're capable of, and Lukaku does make his first appearance, I think it could be very uncomfortable.
Mikel Arteta, what about the Arsenal centre-halves? Ben White, but I mean, feel for them. Yeah. But you're right, though, the determination that Lukaku has when he talks about it, when that interview talks about his upbringing and so on. And again, sometimes I've been critical in the past of players saying, I want to win the Ballon d'Or this year. And I think, no, win trophies with your team and win. But actually, I've sort of changed my mind on that because I think if they do win the Ballon d'Or, it probably means that they've played well and their team has benefited.
Yeah, I don't think you get relegated and win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think when a player does have that determination and focus and so on, it's an obvious cliched thing to say, but I think we might be surprised that sometimes with footballers, you know, it is their job. They're going through the seasons, going through the motions, what's happening in the club and so on. There seems to be a real determination and a real sort of, I don't know, sort of winning mentality, you know, to use other cliches with Lukaku, which I think could be quite something for Chelsea this season.
We should mention that in terms of his weight loss, I think it's about a stone and a half that he had,
right,
that he did lose at Inter. And a lot of that was down to the fact that when he was at Manchester United, he had an undiagnosed dietary tract issue.
Right.
And it was only when he left that he addressed that and he basically changed his diet. So I think there's talk of like he had a more Mediterranean diet, but he was certainly a bit more watchful of some of the things he was eating because they were causing issues in the past that he wasn't aware of.
Yeah, I saw pictures alongside it before and after. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was incredible to me that he had that much to lose in the first place, to be honest. But then that's me saying that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all of us saying it.
What is this diet he was on, by the way?
I think we can we could certainly say good luck to Arsenal.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to need it.
Because they're going to need it. All right, everybody. If you want more chat, of course, we mentioned Serie A a couple of times there about Italian football, then head over to Football Ramble Presents and catch yesterday's On the Continent. Don and Andy were joined by Nicky Bandini for a bumper Serie A preview. Get involved. Now, time for a quick break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death, we welcome into the arena the brilliant host of the Girls on Film podcast, Anna Smith. Join us as we battle out Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid versus Thelma and Louise.
Apparently the other scene that people were like, whoa, was when Butch, at the very start, when he's fighting Logan, kicks him in the balls, because your Western heroes up until that point had never fought dirty. It was just unheard of that someone would do that. And so people gasped in the theatre and then sort of burst out laughing because this was so new to them.
That's what I'd do as well.
Totally what I'd do.
Yeah. 100%.
Uh-oh. So if we fought each other, we'd just be trying to kick each other in the balls for 10 minutes.
Such an image.
And in September, Chris Vicky and I will be appearing at the London Podcast Festival for the first ever Clash of the Titles live show. Get your tickets now from kingsplace.co.uk.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Always believe in your soul.
I said, no, you're getting up there.
You've got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton Cole.
Cole, welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's time for emails.
Show at footballramble.com. Show at footballramble.com. Jules, Fish and Jim Campbell. That's three eights of the Football Ramble. Luke Moore is kind of sore. Pete Dowson, give me breaks on Andy Brassel, plays the asshole. Kate Mason, hot takes. Marcus Weller.
When he says Luke Moore is kind of sore, where does it hurt, Luke?
Yeah, everywhere.
Where do we put the cream?
Yeah, Tommy Cooper, it hurts here, here, and here. You got a broken finger. I think the one to do worse out of that is Andy Brassel, who out of the eight on air people here, he is the least asshole of all of us.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I'll take that one.
Maybe he needs to think a bit more about...
Even Vich is taking that grenade.
Maybe he needs to think a bit more about his output. That's the impression he's clearly given to the listeners. Sorry, Vich, go ahead.
Stop talking about European things. I have an email here from Dave Speed. Just a thought. This is relating to the chat we had on Wednesday about Nagelsmann. Just a thought about Nagelsmann saying that the Super Cup wasn't enough because he had hamster teeth. I immediately thought he meant his teeth were continually growing and he'd need to keep chewing on trophies to keep them in check.
I actually also thought that.
Yeah,
well.
No, that, I like think his that's teething. What it is,
yeah. Yeah.
It's quite sweet. In hindsight, it doesn't make a whole lot more sense than what the team came up with on Wednesday, but these are things that occur as I run laps of the camp in the Saudi desert at 4 a.m.
I guess it's too hot to do it any later.
Yeah, well, yeah, fair dues, yeah.
Amazing. He says that like it's the most natural thing in the world, just running camps. Like running laps of the camp in the Saudi desert. Sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah, leave me out of that.
Thank you very much for that. drop me out. Thanks very much for that, Dave. Ian's also been in touch, Sam, regarding the Italian stadium water park discussion, which was fantastic earlier in the week. Stateside, we have the healthiest way to watch a match, says Ian. The south end of Providence Park in Portland, Oregon, home of the Timbers and the Thorns, connects to a prestigious fitness and athletic club. The athletic club had no intention of selling their property when the stadium was being renovated for football, so the members of the club ride stationary bikes throughout the game and even have their own seating section. The athletic club has a deal with the club, but the stadium's capacity of 25,218, the giant athletic building and sweaty old men working out is a bit of an eyesore. Personally, says Ian, this is a lovely final sentence, personally, I'd rather go and watch a match and drink 1,000 calories than burn them. Cheers.
Good man.
Show at footballramble.com. We're on Twitter as well, at footballramble. This Saturday afternoon sees Aston Villa take on Newcastle United. Now, mentioned it at the start, Steve Bruce took live calls from fans on BBC Radio Newcastle last night.
Almost like he took the decision specifically for us. The boys at the Ramble will love it, so I'll do it.
Is that a hornet's nest? Yeah. No.
Well, part of me thinks
that's my nose.
Unbelievable. Is it brave or is it stupid? Is it a combo of both?
Fish? He's gone.
He's away. Yeah. He did front up though as supporters questioned his brand of football.
I'm really torn on this because I know Steve Bruce to be a lovely fella, and he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
But he doesn't help himself.
The thing is, no, I agree. But see, I think there's just a touch of the Kevin Keegan.
Yeah,
about
well, they're all vying for the crown. Fizzer.
No, see, I'm not having Fizzer.
Yeah, I'm not putting Fizzer in there.
Yeah.
No. Why? Because he didn't achieve anything in his career. He won loads of trophies.
Pete gets quite angry when you put Fizzer in the same bracket as Keegan. But Pete doesn't like Bruce. He thinks he's like arrogant and he's a bit sort of, bit of a nasty. There's maybe a nasty. I have a bit like.
I think there is, being as diplomatic.
He's not perfect.
Being as diplomatic as possible, I think there are elements to what Steve Bruce is doing at Newcastle that warrant scrutiny, more scrutiny than has been given publicly, I'd say.
Do you feel like Luke and I have just been sucked in by his
not necessarily, because he is all those things. Yeah. I think there's, you know, some things about like how certain players have signed new deals and not got a look in that does it warrant further scrutiny, yeah.
Yeah, well, well, he got scrutinised last night on the radio.
Just did the quote.
One fan accused him of being too downbeat before matches, to which he responded, point taken, I will try and address that.
That's quite sweet.
Yeah.
That's quite sweet.
Absolutely.
But that's not the quote I'm talking about.
Let's get through a few of these. One asked, hand on heart, Steve, do you think Joel Linton is ever going to make it? I mean, that is so harsh, isn't it, on poor old Joel Linton? He apparently replied, well, he's only young. He's not long been 24. He had his 25th birthday the other week.
It's not the attention to detail you want from a manager.
Surely he's been 24 as long as possible.
That's a great Kevin Keegan quote. Yeah. If you told me Kevin Keegan did that, I believe you. So he's staking his claim.
He's staking his claim. Well, yeah. He's in the right place to do that. Yeah. All he needs to do is finish second. Asked about the club's progress when compared to the likes of West Ham, he said, who knows? It might be our year to go and finish better than we were last season.
That's not being your year, is it? That's not, oh, we've improved. Well, it was our year, wasn't it? So you finished 18th instead of 19th.
In 20 years' time, that was our year, wasn't it? 2021, 2022. What happened? We did marginally better than we did the year before.
It was our year, boys. Finished 12th.
Waking up in the morning and then managing to get to the end of the day when you fall asleep and just before you shut your eyes, being like, well, I got through it alive, didn't I? It's my day.
Yeah,
every dog has his day.
For me, the big takeaway, though, is he confirmed that he doesn't watch Love Island. And when asked if he'd go on any reality show, he said, I've never cooked anything in my life.
He's not seen Love Island, has he?
What does he think it is? Does he think it's MasterChef? Yeah.
Well, really, the red peppers are getting with the green tomatoes.
Do you imagine him going on MasterChef thinking he's on Love Island, just having a little pair of trunks on? No, Steve, it's not the right show.
What was he doing when he remember Free
Brucey?
Why
are you wearing a shirt? It's open flames here.
Remember he did the Free Brucey when he was jumping into the water?
Yeah.
That's a bit Love Island-esque,
isn't
it?
That was your favourite thing to ever happen on the internet.
Quite possibly.
We went through a phase, I think, and it extended to months, where we would sit out here and you would just be laughing like you are now and just showing a picture of Steve Bruce diving into the water from a boat. And then there was a picture of him with his little head sticking out of the water that you liked as well when he was swimming.
No, it was a kid. He's jumping over the little kid in the water. That's why it's like Free Willy.
Free Willy.
Yeah, Free Brucey. Yeah.
I don't even know who they're playing this weekend. Who are they playing? Aston Villa away.
They're playing BBC Radio Newcastle. By the sounds of it, they've got them on the ropes. They're playing Aston Villa. Oh, by the way, now come on. This is joining the two together. A damning headline in today's newspapers said this: Inter Miami are confident of beating Newcastle to the signing of Brazilian star Evander.
Yeah.
I mean, tug of war between. So it looks like the 23-year-old Michelin midfielder has a choice between Brucey and Fizzer. Who are you going for, Fish?
It's a push of war, isn't it?
That's probably going for the weather. Yeah. Just going, do you know what? These are the only two teams that want me.
Yeah, well, we know Brucey's got a job for life. Fizzer probably won't be there that long.
imagine walking...
Fizzer might not be there when I arrive.
Imagine having those two options, walking out of a meeting with one, into a meeting with the other, and then calling up your agent and being like, Charlie, is this it? Literally just these two. Yeah.
Sorry, Charlie, I think you missed a page off the email because I've got to the bottom and it's just Inter Miami.
When you said Inter, you didn't specify. Was that deliberate?
When you said Premier League manager of a big club, it's alpha.
Also, Inter Miami appear to be just a really elaborate way of David Beckham to post gym photos on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's always in the gym in Inter Miami.
Well, unless he's wearing a sleeveless Inter Miami top when he was the other day practicing free kicks at training.
But he's always... always in the gym on his own. And I'm thinking, why are the other players not there?
Because they're just watching him.
Yeah, they're taking photos of him.
Yeah, I was going to say. Get another one. yes. But yeah, apparently Newcastle are playing with Aston Villa on the weekend.
You were disappointed on the opening day. Given all the chat about them pre-season.
Yeah.
I understand Grealish leaving is a big blow for them. But I mean, Dean Smith said himself that there was an over-reliance on Jack Grealish. Mm. And that he wants to use that money to build a better squad. They've made signings. I'm not saying it's the same situation, but Marcus, you'll remember better than any cunt that Fulham did the same thing.
Yeah.
They bought players, and it went wrong for them.
They did go wrong for them,
Spurs did the same when they sold Bale.
Exactly, yeah.
So could Villa be going along this kind of path?
Well, I thought Danny Ings was a good signing. And
Leon Bailey's a very good signing.
But fellas, it's not the players I'm talking about. I'm talking about the massive amount of the players and then settling them in.
Yeah, sure. Which is the, I suppose, what I would use as the mitigating factor for that disappointing performance against Watford, because by the end of it, you did see like flashes of obviously Bailey.
But you can't start playing and, when you're 3-0 down. That's Fulham all over.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I think this will be an interesting game for those very reasons, because I think it was interesting, like the high of the Willock unveiling and then just the way they fell apart against West Ham for Newcastle United. I think these two are both looking at this, thinking like it's going to be a really good jumping off point for what they hope will be their season proper.
It's early days.
Yeah, I'm kind of more of a mind to side with Villa on this.
Yeah, okay. Well, against Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. Gentlemen, also on Saturday afternoon, it's Leeds versus Everton. Tasty one. You know, last weekend saw Everton win a league game after going into halftime behind for the first time since 2015. I love those really niche stats.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a niche stat on one hand, but on the other hand, it is also quite revealing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It shows you the character of a side under Benitez.
Speaking of also of question and answer sessions with fans, James Rodriguez revealed on Twitch this week that he didn't know who Everton were playing this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me hugely.
Doesn't look great for him, does it?
No, it doesn't look great, but let's be honest, he's sort of been bombed out.
Well, didn't he, back in the last season, I think before Everton's last game of the season, he tweeted a photo of him on a plane. So if he had his phone on airplane mode, he wouldn't have got it.
Was the caption just say, running a bit late?
The ultimate example of that was...
Where am I going again?
Be there as soon as I can.
Rubinho was playing for Man City. And they'd be playing on a Saturday afternoon, and on a Thursday evening, there'd be a picture of him in his shorts, sort of like the Copacabana or whatever. You know, like, whatever it was. Like,
he was on his way to the airport. Then.
He was.
No, he's a throwback Thursday. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So what do you make of it? I do think this is an interesting game, chiefly because we still want to see what effect Benitez can have on Everton. Mm-hmm. But also, Leeds were a little bit underwhelming in their opening game, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Wasn't a fantastic... fantastic
they were
turnout.
Absolutely torn apart.
But that seems to happen. I mean, that happened the season before at Old Trafford as well. I say a little bit underwhelming. Obviously, that was an attempt at a joke that kind of went all awry. They were shit. But we do see Leeds under Bielsa as a team who can adjust, who can get results, who can improve. But Everton are also a new proposition as well, aren't they?
Well, yeah. They missed Calvin Phillips, didn't they?
Big time.
Yeah.
I think he's back this weekend.
Yeah. So I think we said this throughout last season, but one of the things about Leeds is that if you can match them, match their intensity and match how quickly they move the ball, then you end up getting quite a bit of joy out of them. But to do that, you need to have exceptional players and exceptional midfield players and quick players up top, which not a lot of teams have. Obviously, Manchester United do have that, and they executed that to great effect last week. The other thing about Leeds, or rather, I suppose, to start at Everton, one of the things that Benitez will give to them is Benitez is a system manager. And for the last couple of seasons, they've relied too much on the brilliance of individuals who sometimes they are brilliant together. I think last year, a lot of it was Lucas Digne and Dominic Calvert-Lewin with the odd flash from James Rodriguez. And I suppose we all know more about Everton going forward. But one of the things Leeds United are in terms of opposition is that they're a great way of, you know, if there's a kink in someone's system, they'll find it and exploit it because of how quickly they move the ball and how relentless they are without the ball.
Yeah.
So it'd be a great acid test for Benitez. Again, you know, it feels too early in the season, especially for someone like Benitez and how he tends to work, to maybe pick holes in it if it doesn't go their way. But certainly, whatever faith he has in the players that he's starting or who will start on the weekend, and his plans for how he uses the broader squad, he'll find out a lot after this game.
Yeah. Do you know what as well is that it'll be a full house at Elland Road and the fans will be back in the ground for the first time since they've been promoted back into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I just, these little things that I didn't think about. And of course, they waited for so many years. That's going to be quite something for those Leeds fans.
And I think even just, I didn't go to a game last weekend, but all the games I watched last weekend were on TV, and you could even feel through the TV how much of a effect. Yeah. The Brentford game is a great example of that, and I think Elland Road will be the same. I think a word for Richarlison as well, because I mean, I certainly personally didn't get a chance to talk about Benitez going to Everton when it happened. I think what you said is absolutely spot on. He's such a system manager that I think it could work really well for them with the resources they've got and the players they have at his disposal. The word I wanted to make to say about Richarlison is he was brilliant in the opening game against Southampton. Fantastic, probably man of the match. Last season, because I think the nature of how Everton was so inconsistent, his goal scoring contribution dropped off massively. I think he scored around half the amount of league goals as he'd done the season before. If he can get back up to speed again, of course, he scored in the opening day. I think that he could be a real asset as well. I don't think it's just the other players you've mentioned making a contribution within that system. I think Richarlison will have a big say in it as well.
Olympic gold medalist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got like over 30 caps for Brazil, which is no mean feat.
Not
you know?
At all,
no. He's quite an underrated player, Richarlison, for his ability level in the Premier League. Anyway, it's time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's Four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand. You know it works by now, guys. Make sure, though, your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's do apply. Game one, Marcus stepping up to the plate for Southampton versus Manchester United. I think I know where you're going to go with this because James Ward-Prowse just signed a new contract.
He has.
He's shown his ambition.
He has.
He signed a new contract with Southampton in his comfort zone. Is he your pick?
He isn't. I am playing very safely here. Bruno Fernandes.
Nice. Well, you're the first man up.
Yeah.
You want to get something on the board.
You know
absolutely.
I mean? Playing straight back, eh?
Bruno Fernandes is the first pick. Game number two, Wolves v Spurs, Sunday at 2 o'clock as well. Vish, you're up.
I'm going to go with heart, with a bit of head involved as well, and go for Raul Jimenez.
That'd
be a lovely little story.
That's
obviously
nice.
Back playing again and against his former manager.
I would love
have
to
a little bit of a
that's
goal.
Nice. Playing the boundaries with that pick,
yeah, just
Vish.
Flick him off my legs.
I don't know what either of you are talking about. But that would be a great story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
For him and Ness to step up. Right. Game number three. I don't know who chose Jim for this one, but I applaud it, but also acknowledge that it's cruel. Arsenal v Chelsea, Sunday 4:30. Jim's gone for the following.
To be honest, as much as it pains me to say it, I think Romelu Lukaku is going to be a handful for Arsenal at the moment when they're not quite up to speed yet. And I think he might have a lovely old time. So I'm going to go for Romelu Lukaku.
Great stuff.
Bold shout, because didn't Arsenal beat Chelsea twice last season, home and away? So
I think we all know what's going to happen. Game number four is West Ham v Leicester on Monday night. And because he scored in the opening game and did an impression, I would like Jamie Vardy to do the same thing against against West Ham and maybe do like some kind of Thor hammer celebration.
Yeah, good one.
To acknowledge it. So I've gone for Jamie Vardy. So our four picks are Bruno Fernandes, Raul Jimenez, Romelu Lukaku and Jamie Vardy. Make sure if you want to play along, your selections are submitted before the first game. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in those four selected matches and there's £50,000 up for grabs. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Okay, everyone. Get some fire in your belly. Get your heads.
Why are we still doing this?
In the freezer. Because it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. It is indeed time for Luke's game. Vish up against Marcus.
Nice to have him back.
Yeah, very much so. Vish, you got your pen and paper, mate?
Yeah.
Better get it out then, because otherwise you'll use it as an excuse.
I love how much he really, really gets nervous about this game. He really like...
It's just not fun. It just stopped being fun a while ago when you kept when you kept beating me and I couldn't play any of the rubbish ones. And then I played against Kate and then you helmed it when I was with Pete and you kept trying to give him the answers.
That was
bad. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, here's hoping you can bounce back. Laptop closed, please.
So I'm opening it so he doesn't see my answers.
All right.
Are you having that here?
Not really, no.
it's locked.
Yeah, if it stays like that, can see. That's fine. Yeah. Well, don't move it back then.
Why do you think I'm interested in your answers?
Right, here we go. Vish, you're up first.
Yeah, why not?
You're playing first, my friend.
Get off to a good start.
Yeah. Marcus's mind games have started. They started about a week ago, let's be honest. The first players play for 10 clubs. I would say this, actually.
Right,
the algorithm, for those of you who love to play along at home, this is a particularly tough one today. The algorithm has thrown up some difficult, difficult players.
I know.
And we may not get a vintage performance from either.
Yeah.
But as we know, a quick game is a good game here, fellas. So I need to push you. I will push you. And if I need to move you, and I will. And I'll make no apology for that. First players play for 10 clubs in total. He's still currently playing. He is Scott Carson. Scott Carson. 10,
yeah,
10 players in total. 10 players, sorry, 10 teams in total. What's your opening bid, please, Vish?
Scott Carson.
I'm very impressed by your fountain pen, but it's not going to help you now.
My opening bid, I'm going to go 5.
Marcus?
I'd like to hear his 5.
So you want him to go 5?
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Okay.
Because that to me, there's just pitfalls everywhere with Scott Carson's career.
Yeah, okay. So 5 clubs, please, Vish, one at a time for your opening point on the board. If you get any wrong, if you repeat, then Marcus, of course, gets the point.
Oh, why have I done this to myself? Derby County?
That's correct. 158 league appearances. The fact you were really unsure about
that. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's probably not good for the confidence. So that's one.
I think Fisher's got this.
No, I don't think I have. Manchester City?
Still there, brother.
Yeah.
Has he played for them, has he?
He has played for them once.
Yeah, okay. That was one of the ones I thought.
He was on loan before he signed permanently. He did feature.
That's right, so he has.
Leeds United?
Started his career there.
Well played, sir.
That's three. Two more to go.
Just say the ones you got written down.
Yeah, but two of those are wrong. Liverpool?
Very good. That's four.
Here we go. Come on, Vish.
No, this is where I'm fucked. So I only have four. I don't know why I guessed five.
You're going to push him?
Just give me your answer, please. I'm capable of running my own game.
West Brom?
Very good.
Very well played.
1 point. So Leeds United is where he started. Then he went to Liverpool. Sheffield Wednesday on loan. Charlton Athletic on loan. Aston Villa on loan.
Charlton, yeah.
West Brom, Bursaspor, Wigan, Derby, and then Manchester City.
Do you know what? I'm glad. Because I thought it was Trabzonspor and Bursaspor. That's right.
Yeah.
Fair play to you, mate. Because I wasn't. He's one of those ones where you think, oh, he played for there. Oh, yeah. Did he make an appearance?
Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah.
Very strong start.
A textbook invoked the Sunderland Clause player there.
Yeah.
It would have been wrong.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Here we go then. So the second player's also played for 10 clubs.
Oh, no.
I make no apology for this.
I'm going to get done here.
You're up first, Marcus. Mm-hmm. He retired in 2018.
Mm.
Alberto Aquilani.
Oh, piss off. Just piss off.
It's the algorithm. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do? Alberto Aquilani.
Three.
That's a good bid. That's a very, very good bid.
Yeah, it's good if I know them.
Yeah, well, you bid it.
Four?
You can go four, can you?
I think so.
Marcus? This is an amazing performance from you so far, Vish.
Yeah, I'm impressed with this. I think Vish could whitewash me today.
No chance.
Go on then, you do your four.
Okay, so one at a time, please. Alberto Aquilani, four of his 10 professional clubs. This would be very impressive.
Roma?
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct. I think they're the two obvious ones.
Yeah. Sevilla?
Villarreal.
One all.
Right. I had AC Milan as well. Is that wrong as well?
He didn't play for Villarreal either.
What? I'd have got it wrong.
Roma's restarted. Bit of time on loan at Triestina. Liverpool, quite famously. Juventus. Milan. Fiorentina. Sporting. Pescara, Sassuolo, and then Las Palmas in Spain.
Oh, that's where we're thinking, because I had a Spanish club as well.
There we go.
There
so
we
that's
are.
One all then.
I've been let off the hook there.
Ooh. Done all right there.
I've been let off the hook.
Because if you had guessed, you probably would have got one wrong.
I would have got one wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There we go then. Yeah. Vish, you're up first this time. Six clubs in total. We still see them on our screens every single week. Some of us even enjoy it. I'm not one of those people. six clubs in total for Sean Dyche.
Dyche.
Sean
Dyche. Sake.
Who's he played for? We all know who he manages, but who's he played for in his career? Career started in 1989 and finished in 2007. Very, very long career. But he's only played for six clubs in that time. How many of them can you name, Vish?
Two.
Marcus.
Come on, three. I've got to go on the front foot at some point today.
No? So, Marcus, you're three.
I'm confident with. Yes, I'm going for three.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, you said three. Let's hear him.
I'm confident with one.
Okay, go ahead.
Chesterfield.
Absolutely right.
No, there's a few clubs in my head now.
Was a centre-back. 6 foot, Sean Dyche. I was surprised to hear he was 6 foot.
I don't know where these...
Yeah, but you're one of those people, everyone you hate, you think is small.
Yeah. You're a bit of a heightist, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know where I've got these clubs from, but let's have a go. Swansea City?
I can see why you would have guessed that. But I'm afraid it's wrong.
Reading was another one.
Any more?
I had Sheffield Wednesday and Burnley.
All right, okay.
If this game was to name all the clubs they hadn't played
for,
we
would have done
quite well. He started at Nottingham Forest, but he didn't feature for them.
Okay.
Doesn't count. Chesterfield, as you said, Marcus. Bristol City, Luton Town, Millwall, Watford, and Northampton Town. So that's a point to Vish. 2-1. So two, you're one up with two to play.
Match point, Vishy.
And Marcus, you get to go first this time. This player's played for 11 clubs in total.
God's
and
sakes.
He retired in 2013. He is Francis Jeffers.
Oh, bloody
Francis
Nora.
Jeffers.
Bloody Nora.
Yeah. Striker.
Yeah.
what someone said, the ultimate fox in the box. But if he was a fox, he'd be fucking starving. 11 clubs in total.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
How many of those can you name?
3.
Okay. Vish, do I get 4 or more from you?
Yeah, I've got to do 4.
There's nothing to stop you bidding more than 4 if you want to. It's an auction. You can bid as high as you want.
God, no. 4? I think I can do 4. Yeah.
Marcus, do I get 5 from you?
No, I want to see if Vish can take it home with 4.
So Vish, if you name...
It's just that play and you think... Argh.
Yeah, it's not easy, this one. If you name 4 correctly, you win. Okay, so it's all to play for. You're 1 up with 2 to play. Please tell me now, in order, one at a time, 4 of the 11 clubs played for by Francis Jeffers.
Everton?
That's correct. Started his career there. That's 1.
Arsenal?
Yep.
Moved there famously. That's 2. I think we all had those.
Everyone's got them.
Rangers?
Very good.
Oh,
that's
well
3.
Played. Oh, here we go, Vish, for the win!
1 more.
Don't choke.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I mean. I only had 3, and I assume those were the 3 that you had.
That wasn't the 3 I had, actually.
Doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure of the 3rd.
It's fair enough.
Need 1 more for you, mate, for your win. Be great to see you back on the horse.
It would
I think
be,
the
yeah.
listeners would agree.
And it would get your confidence up again. You wouldn't enter the Luke's Game Arena with such
Hull
a...
City?
He says Hull City for
oh,
the win.
Oh, it could be.
Hull City for the win. If it's right, he's got a win under his belt. First of the new season. But it's not. Marcus, it's 2 all. Everton, Arsenal, back to Everton on loan. Charlton.
Yeah, that, Rangers, they were the 3 I had.
Rangers, Blackburn, Ipswich Town, Sheffield Wednesday. Newcastle Jets, Motherwell, Newcastle Jets again, Floriana, and then ended his career at Accrington Stanley. Vish, you get to go first this time. It's still in your hands. 2 all. It's a decider.
Here we go.
We love a decider on this game.
It's gone down to the last frame and the last black.
It's 5 clubs in total. Okay, Vish.
5 clubs.
And you get to bid first. He retired in 2018, a very, very famous, illustrous European player.
5 clubs. Did you
five clubs five in total.
Sorry, yeah.
No worries. Vish, you get to bid first. It's Thiago Motta. Thiago
Ooh.
Motta. I can't say anything more about him in case I give anything away, but I will say to this, he's a midfield player, and he retired in 2018. His career started in 1999. 5 clubs, how many can you name?
I'm going to go with... 3.
Okay, so Marcus, when it's someone bidding first on a deciding player and there's such a small amount of clubs,
yeah.
3's tough.
I know it is.
I think realistically, I don't think you can afford to not go 4.
I've got to go 4.
Vish, he now has to name all 5.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll take your 4.
Oh, this could be a great comeback.
I think.
This could be a great comeback. So Marcus,
you're very good with these kind of players.
I'm not, though, with this particular player.
Thiago Motta, 4 of his 5 clubs for the win to get yourself off to a good start this season. Go ahead, please, 1 at a time.
Inter.
That's correct.
PSG.
End of his career there, also correct.
I'm hazy now. Did you have 3 honest answers there?
Yeah.
All right, fair play. Barcelona.
Yes, now you're 1 away. You are 1 away from glory.
What it's so think? Annoying because there were so many clubs who were in for him and there were so many... messing around. Did it, were those the 3? Those are 3 you had.
It's
you can tell me.
Stop stalling. No.
Juventus.
Medusa.
Oh, Vish! Bowls.
Yes,
who was it then?
Indeed. Barcelona.
Yeah.
Inter and PSG, as you said. The other 2 clubs. If you'd name one of them, you'd have been winning yourself, Marcus. Atletico Madrid.
Oh.
Or Genoa.
You had Atletico Madrid, didn't you?
No, I had those 3. I just wanted to fuck with your head.
It doesn't matter now.
Had those 3. Yeah. Vish, well played, sir. You must be delighted. That's your own gold medal.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
Because you've had to downplay it. He's absolutely delighted.
He's had to come back for some depth. You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've been beaten by some names in the past, and now you're back.
No, just one name over and over again.
Yeah, now you're back.
Brassel.
You are back, baby.
Yeah. Good stuff. Goodness.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
What a game to finish the week, eh? Mm. 3-2 to Vish. Well played, sir.
You have a good weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I will have an excellent weekend. Not as good as you, though.
Look after yourself.
Thanks very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, everybody.
If you want to chat whenever, just give me a call. I'll help you through some
You never answer them. It's always got a foreign dialing tone. We're back on Monday to talk about those footballs on the weekend. Thank you very much. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vitushin.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
He's absolutely delighted.
Come on, boys. You know what? For Jeffers, I kept thinking orange.
Orange.
Like an orange shirt. I was Blackpool. Like, it wasn't Wolves, but Motherwell.
Motherwell.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.